In September 2004, Scansoft announced that they had acquired Brand und Gerber Communications, or Bugcom, the manufacturers of the popular Symbian screen reading software Torx. Torsten Brand is the Torx product manager, and we spoke by telephone yesterday, and I began by asking Torsten to tell us a little bit more about the relationship between Bugcom and Scansoft leading to the eventual acquisition.
Well, we had a long-lasting relationship with Scansoft, of course, because we have purchased the Eloquence engine from them. Through that, we had good contact to their sales personnel, and they were always very interested in this product because they thought it would have a certain appeal into the mainstream market as well. And at the same time, it's as an accessibility product, they thought it's really incredibly useful. So they started to use this by themselves as a something that they could demonstrate to others as a means of what you can do with Eloquence.
Mm-hmm.
And so this relationship grew over about the years we have started with it.
Right.
And Eloquence. And at a certain point, then we had discussions maybe half a year before we have actually had it happen in September. We had discussions about that, and very carefully tried to explore what advantages we have, what disadvantages may be involved. And the same took place on the Scansoft side. So obviously the advantages that we have now is, one is that both Eloquence and Torx are manufactured in the same environment, in the same house.
Mm-hmm.
So we have good possibilities to fine-tune things. This is one advantage. But we also have the major advantage of utilizing the sales team of Scansoft to market Torx, which is, of course, an advantage for us all, because at the end, the more network providers, for example, take on Torx, the easier it will be to get it for the user, and the user must pay less.
Right.
So anyone can decide if he wants to go to the mobile network provider and buy Torx there, or if he wants to go to the accessibility specialist channel, which of course may offer a more personalized service. And so I think that's something that we got through our Scansoft relationship especially.
Okay.
We noticed that there was really a significant enhancement in
So you saw this as an opportunity to develop Torx. You felt that this would be a good thing for Torx.
So. Yes, well, we had to do something, obviously, because Torx gained more market, and at the same time, it's of course harder to manage the administration work and the marketing work.
Would it be fair to say that the popularity of Torx had surprised you to such an extent that it became too much for just you and Marcus to manage by yourselves?
Yes, well, it's not just that it surprised us how popular this became. It's also that we tried to figure out our opportunities, and either we had to hire more personnel to accomplish the task of marketing Torx and develop it better in the future, or we had to do some other things like joining Scansoft in this case. So it's a careful decision that you take. Obviously, joining Scansoft involves a little more safety for ourselves.
Right.
But on the other hand, we didn't want to lose on the accessibility part. So when we had our discussions with Scansoft, we made sure that accessibility is still maintained as a major feature, of the application. So I think we got the best of both worlds in this case.
Okay.
Your job title is product manager for they're calling it Speech Pack Talks, as I understand it. And Marcus, I assume, is still working on Talks as well. Are there other people involved with Talks development directly now, or is it still primarily you and Marcus?
Well, it is primarily us, but we are of course working with other people now.
And, okay.
For example, we have help from other resources for improving the Eloquent speech engine and also the Babel speech engine that we use as a third-party engine.
Okay.
For languages that cannot be handled by Eloquent. And there are also other things going on, so you will see in the future that we will leverage other opportunities that we have found inside Scansoft.
Okay.
Scansoft obviously has always been sort of an accessibility company, and definitely, of course, is a speech company. You have several speech synthesizers that are owned by Scansoft, including RealSpeak, for example, or RealSpeak Solo, which is a new one. And we also have things like OCR, voice recognition. So a lot of very interesting
exciting
products. Things like OmniPage on the OCR front, Dragon naturally speaking on voice recognition. So there are really very interesting products in this company that are already related to accessibility. So it's not really a very new thing for Scansoft to do, to tell an accessibility related product. But of course this is the first screen reader that Scansoft sells, and it's the first truly accessibility related product that
You're right about that. That it is the first screen reading product of its kind that Scansoft sells. Let's talk about the relationship then between Talks and the Eloquence TTS. In the Windows environment, we're very much aware that Eloquence is available for all the leading screen readers, and that all the leading screen readers can work comfortably with Eloquence. And obviously now that Scansoft has chosen to become involved with the screen reading component as well as providing the synthesizer, is there a danger that Talks and the Eloquence TTS become fused in some way, in that it becomes more difficult for third party manufacturers to use the Eloquence TTS?
Well, I mean, of course, having Eloquence is an advantage, so Scansoft also notices this advantage of having Eloquence in screen reading products like JAWS or Window Eyes or, well, whatever.
Mm.
And at the same time, you use it with Talks because you recognize the voice and you're very familiar with that. And so Scansoft uses this advantage, which is a normal thing in sales, obviously.
Mm.
And I mean, so.
So will it become a point where Scansoft will discontinue third party support, and that Talks and the Eloquence TTS for the Symbian platform, that they essentially become, you buy one, you get the other. It's that's part of the deal, that no longer will the Eloquence TTS be available for other mobile phone screen readers?
Well, I mean, you already will notice this when you look at competitive products in the Symbian environment. I mean.
Right. Right. Okay. And you see the synthesizer as being part of the choice that people have to make, that if they buy this product, they will get this synthesizer. If they buy this product, then they may have to get a different synthesizer.
That may be, yes.
Yeah. Let's talk about the new beta then. Version 1.9.9. This is the new public beta that was released last week, and it is available through the public beta team, and we can perhaps come to some contact details at the end. There are a number of new enhancements here, but can you talk us through the highlights?
Probably the most important highlight of version 2 of Talks, which is beta 1.99. Is that we now have implemented support for the Nokia web browser. This browser some improvements to that, while at the same time, of course, the other third-party browsers that Nokia have still have on their phones lose some importance.
Right.
It's at least on Series 60 phones. On Series 80 phones, there's currently only the Opera browser. That's the same. This is Wonder browser that we currently can not make accessible due to lack of information also from Opera.
Okay. So this is a first, really. This is the first time that the blind people, and I suppose anyone who wants speech output from their Symbian mobile phone, can access as you mentioned, the WAP browser, or the WAP browser, and also to access HTML pages. It's probably important to emphasize that people who are familiar with Windows screen readers, to some extent, we've been very spoiled in Windows because we have a lot of navigation commands, and that the web page is loaded into a special buffer, and that obviously a desktop PC has the resources to do all those things. You don't have those kinds of resources on a mobile phone. You don't have enough memory and processing power. So this really is very, very basic access that people should be, you know, expecting, that they're not going to be able to necessarily jump around the page, you know, by heading in the same way that perhaps they do in their Windows Explorer, their Internet Explorer, rather.
Well, that's of course true. We do not have information of the underlying structure of an HTML or WAP page.
Right.
So we cannot do these beautiful things like going to the next heading, for example, or finding a special element.
That's right.
Instantly. There's no virtual buffer that we can build easily like with the others,
mm-hmm.
the Windows screen readers and Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
On the other hand, when you look at the WAP pages especially, then usually these pages are quite small. They have to load faster, obviously. So developers are really concerned about making these pages smaller. And so what I've noticed when I use these pages, it's quite easy to maneuver around on these pages.
Mm-hmm.
It's really very fast because they try to concentrate everything on one or two screens, basically. And the screens on mobile phones obviously are very small.
Yeah.
So you cannot present much information. And the way we handle this information is also very natural. So, though we don't have wonderful things like continuous readout of a complete page, of course, only object-oriented functions
mm-hmm.
That concentrate upon the currently selected object and text around the current object.
Right.
It's still quite easy to navigate and still very easy to use that to enter text. And if you try things like, for example, using web.google.com or try to get train schedules, flight schedules, things like that, or when you use the pages of your network provider where you can download ringtones, etc., then you will notice it's really relatively easy to use. Of course, when you use the same to browse HTML pages, then the pages become larger, and then it depends upon the design of the pages how well they can be used with mobile phones. If an author uses an accessibility feature like the skip navigation link that you find on many accessible web pages, then this is now becoming also useful for a sighted person. Because on these small screens, you don't want to scroll down for, you know, five pages to finally get to the right content that you want to read.
Mm.
So, for instance, on the Scansoft Talks pages, we already have the skip navigation link to accomplish this problem. And I've suggested to Scansoft to have it on all handset pages, so I don't know if they will do it, but I think it makes even sense for a sighted person to have that. very fast operation that you do on these phones.
Mm.
So yes, there are some limitations compared to PC usage. On the other hand, these limitations are also there for sighted people.
So yeah. But it's
okay, one advantage, by the way, that you have is that you do not have a mouse on these phones. So even the sighted person must navigate the same way that you
using do. The same controls, yeah.
Yes. So of course, when they build web pages, they try to optimize it to scroll around with this navigation button. So it's not as bad as it seems when you mm-hmm. when you think about what you lose.
Mm. You're also able to complete forms as well, aren't you? You can use the Talk software to now access forms. You mentioned train timetables and many of those sites, they might ask you what time you wish to depart and that kind of thing, and which station you want to go from, and most times that works.
Yeah, it's quite okay. I mean, I'm using it myself for getting timetables of trains, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really useful, it really works. But if you really look at content that you want to have while you are traveling, then this is really the most important content that you get.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
So this is really what you want when you're on a train and maybe your train is delayed, you want to get the next connection, you can get it. It's no problem. You don't have to carry your notebook to get it. And so these are things that are really nice. I enjoy very much.
Mm.
Also, if you want to download the ringtone, well, I mean, if you're in this, I think a lot of people, you know, youngsters probably are.
Yeah.
Definitely, they want to have their own one. So now you can go to these sites and download your ringtone, do things like that.
If you're looking for somewhere to start, most mobile phones, it seems to me, come with some default bookmarks that their operator has put in there. So you can straight away try some of those without having to wonder which sites are going to be usable and which sites are not going to be usable. You can straight away dive in and start trying things.
You usually have a starting point from the operator.
Yeah.
And of course, again, it depends upon the operator. Pages are accessible, mm-hmm. fully accessible or not. We have seen pages where you find graphics
right. That
are not accompanied by all text.
Right, so that's problems familiar to people. We're familiar with the idea that you do need an alt tag in order to make a graphic accessible.
So you find the same things again.
Mm.
What you have to do with a mobile phone is you have to turn off image display. That's the best, because then the alt text will show up.
Right.
That's a feature that also can be used by sighted people to reduce loading size.
And if there's no alt tag and you turn off image display, at this stage, because you mentioned that you couldn't access the source of the page, you didn't read the underlying code, so you couldn't at this stage, or can you see the file name of the graphic file? Quite often, screen readers for Windows in the past have used that as a fallback position.
We do get only the information that we have on the screen.
On the screen, right.
So it's not... we don't see the underlying...
So if there's no alt tag and images are turned off, then it's pretty much going to be invisible.
Yeah, well, you can, at least you don't know what it is on that page. You will find an empty page, basically.
Right.
You can still press the button to load the images and show it to someone, of course.
Right.
And in some cases, well, even many cases, you can choose one of these links, and then you have, when you land on the next page, this is then quite accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So, mainly on, it's not that you have a whole, usually you don't have a whole bunch of inaccessible pages.
Do you think, you know, one day we might get things like a continuous read facility or to be able to spell individual words and
so
things like
that? So upon the information that we can get, and it may also depend upon the availability of accessibility-related interfaces in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult to say. We can only say what we have now, of course.
Right.
But as far as we know, there are no firm plans to have an accessibility interface to any mm-hmm. of these browsers really readily available. We had talks with one of these companies to produce these browsers, but
Mm-hmm.
And they are different in shape. For the Nati 300 is a smaller one.
Mm. The list seems to be ever getting longer of the number of phones that are supported.
But currently we do all Series 60 phones from Nokia.
Yeah.
And also all Series 80 phones from Nokia.
Right.
We offer support for the Siemens SX1.
Yeah.
And we have received reports that the Panasonic X700 and X701
mm-hmm.
also work very well with Torx, but haven't done testing here.
Right.
And the CentOS works to a certain degree, but it has a major problem that Torx doesn't load automatically.
Right.
So, but we don't spend much time on that phone because it didn't have much success on the market. So people who want to have a Nokia phone can really use each of the Series 60 phones that are available at the moment.
Right. And presumably they would be the ones that you would recommend at this stage then?
Well, yes. Using the Nokia one or the Siemens SX1 is certainly a good choice.
And do you have synergies with Nokia? Are you in contact with the development people of Nokia in any way?
We have very good contact with Nokia. Scansoft has really good contact with Nokia in several parts. We, as a Torx team, have contact with the accessibility team of Nokia, which is located in Texas, Dallas, and they sometimes have helped us to get information. It's very difficult to get the kind of information that we need for developing a screen reader.
Mm.
And so they've certainly been very helpful there.
Do you think one of these conversations with Nokia might include the difficulties with the 6260? I understand with that particular phone, it's impossible to stop talks from shouting. It's very loud.
It's very loud on that phone.
Yeah.
The issue is that when we try to set the volume lower, then it doesn't speak at all.
Mm-hmm.
So there is one solution that we could implement to solve that issue if there won't be a firmware upgrade to do it for us. Then there's one solution to that. That would be when we have generated the streaming
mm-hmm.
output, then we could manipulate the wave output to lower the volume of the stream instead of lowering the volume of the speaker.
Right.
So there is a theoretical solution, but it involves some more work, so we won't have that for version 2.
So you're hoping that the guys at Nokia will get this fixed in a firmware update?
Yes, well, I mean, this is a real problem with that phone.
I haven't seen it, but I'm told it's a very nice phone.
Yes, it's a clamshell.
Mm-hmm.
The first clamshell phone
from Nokia.
That uses Series 60.
Yeah.
And so it certainly is a nice phone. It has push-to-talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite new if you look at the software.
Mm-hmm.
It has VPN support. So it's quite nice. It's okay. I mean, I personally currently prefer the 6670.
Right.
I like the keyboard layout a little more than
mm-hmm.
the clamshell device. And I like the speaker, which is at the side of the 6670.
And some of us are still just comfortable with the 6600. Mine's still going strong, and my battery's still good, and I've had it for over a year now, and it's great. And my operator, my network, keep trying to get me to upgrade, and I don't want to. I'm quite happy. So let's go back to the beta then, because we mentioned obviously the web stuff, and we could talk about that all day. But let's just skim over some of the other features. Yeah, some of the other new features that are found in the new beta.
We have implemented a bunch of verbosity settings, and for example, you have a setting that can turn off the announcement of the function keys.
Mm-hmm.
You have a setting that can make the announcement of the screen a little less verbose by taking out this word window and taking out the word key in front of the function key numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell Torx if you want to have the list indices read out once, always.
That's this 1 of 5, 2 of 5, 3 of 5, yeah,
that, something
yeah.
like that. Yeah. You may want to have that when you read the focus, but then no more, or you may never have that if you like that.
Okay.
Or always, as it was the case in the past.
Yeah. Again, that was something else that you were working on last summer, the Wayfinder support and the...
Yeah, we have started last summer and have improved as far as we could. We also have improved on the eloquent side quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
The compatibility with other voice output or recording is now there.
Mm-hmm.
Works very nicely. So you can easily press the select key and get this voice prompt from Wayfinder, for example. Or if you want to record something, you can do it with the normal recording features. You can use voice tags and so on and so on. So a lot of smaller things have happened that are more under the hood.
Right.
So really not obvious except when you stumble across them.
Yeah.
And
I think one of my favourites that you haven't mentioned is the reading of some of the status symbols on the main telephone application.
Yes.
For example, if there's an alarm set, or if the phone is on line 2, or if Bluetooth is switched on, to have indications of those.
Yes.
I think it's particularly useful, and I guess that is that likely to increase in the future. We like to see the GPRS flag recognized, and
but that's something we are working on. That one is not as easy as implementing the others.
Right.
So, but we're working on that, and we hope to have that ready very soon. So I think people will see.
Okay.
A lot more enhancements. So.
Okay.
That also, of course, took a lot of time that we shouldn't underestimate. Is we had to integrate ourselves into the Scansoft network. So it's really, working for a bigger company is really something where at first you have to provide them with a lot of information, you have to do a lot of paperwork, so everybody in the company is really familiar with what you're doing.
Right.
And that's, of course, a big difference from working as a two-man company.
Yeah. So you're still based in Germany?
Yes, we're still based in Germany. Scansoft has two main offices in Germany, one in Aachen and one in Munich.
Mm-hmm.
So Scansoft is in Germany. I mean, in fact, a number of countries. So
congratulations with the new beta. As I say, I'll demonstrate that shortly. This is really the beta for version 2, essentially. This is what version 2 is pretty much going to look like. The obvious questions, really, about version 2, when are we likely to expect it? And I know it's difficult to say, because obviously you don't want to release it until you find out any bugs. What does it mean for people in terms of an upgrade cost?
Well, version 2 will be released very shortly. So it's think that we will have it released in time for the CSUN conference. It will still contain some smaller improvement, but of course not really something significant.
Mm.
We will then add a little more on top of that in April, when we are going to release RAIL SDK for talks. We hope at least that some manufacturers will like the idea, will drive us for it and so on. And
right,
it will be driven by the user. I mean, if enough users ask for it, then I think the manufacturers will do it.
it was my understanding that in the past, and I guess this is one of the reasons I hadn't asked you about Braille, it was my understanding that in the past that the old Bugcomb in the sort of the pre-Scansoft days was in a locked into a deal with Handytech to support those displays.
Yeah.
So that's changed now.
That will be changed during April.
Right. So the new arrangement will be that you will be releasing to the industry a software development kit that will allow third-party Bluetooth Braille display developers to write their own drivers rather than you writing the drivers for them, or will you collaborate?
Yes, exactly.
Right, okay.
Yes, we see it as a great opportunity because when you look at the Braille note-taker market, there are so many Braille note-takers that even come to the market now.
Mm.
Most of them, with the exception of the PacMate, are not using the real operating system, but they use some interface written for the blind users,
yeah,
based upon Windows CE in most cases. And we think that using the real operating system is the key for building better Braille PDAs. And so besides the PacMate, which is of course certainly a very interesting device, we see a very good market for Torx-based PDA devices.
Right.
Of course it has some nice appeal if you have your phone in your pocket and you can use it. Another reason why we are doing this is also that we would like to address a very small market, which is the market of the deafblind people,
yeah,
who rely upon SMS
mm-hmm.
Usage to really do use communication.
Yeah.
So this is very interesting for us, and though it's not a big market, not very profitable, it's still very interesting in the accessibility field because there are not too many solutions out there. Our idea basically is that we have the full phone functionality available through Braille use.
Yeah.
And we have done a number of improvements,
mm-hmm.
Also for the Torx version 2. And when we release the Braille SDK, this will really work in the same quality as you have it on the 9200 series at the moment.
Excellent. Okay, Torsten. Well, before we get your before we get the contact details where people can find out more about Torx, or Speech Pack Torx as we should be calling it now, can you answer the 64,000 euro question, which is will there be an upgrade cost for people, existing users of version 1 of Torx, if they wanted to go to version 2? Is it going to cost them anything?
Well, we have had the decision that an upgrade to version 2 free of charge for all existing Torx users. The thing that will not be free is we will also distribute with version 2 a bonus package, a software bonus package.
Right.
That includes 5 applications plus 1 free application. Well, the free one's free, so there's no problem with that. It's File Explorer or F Explorer.
Yeah.
But the other 5 applications are quite nice, I think. And we certainly hope that our users will at least love 1 or 2 or 3 of them when they buy Torx, because the price of Torx will be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And these applications include mini GPS, some customers know it already, I think. It's an application that allows the store name of a network cell, and later you can assign events to this name. So, for instance, if you store the name of your home network cell, give it the name home or, you know, the train station maybe, later you can assign an event, for example, a ringtone to the event that you reach the network cell. So, for me, it's no matter if the train is delayed or if no announcements are made during this ride. As soon as I reach my home station, the ringtone goes off, and then I know I have to leave the fourth one is extended profiles that allow to set up more parameters with your profiles. And at the same time, it also allows to define time intervals for profiles. So for instance, you can say, I want to switch to a silent profile when I go before I go to bed. Maybe it's 10 p.m. or something like that. And then switch back to the general profile in the morning. The fifth one is a world clock, because you don't have a world clock on most Series 60 phones, only on the very new 6630. So we have decided to give that also.
So this is this software bundle. Then that's quite exciting. There's a lot of things there for people to kind of get involved with. And I don't know if my phone's got enough memory to install all those things.
Oh well, there's no problem. They're not too large.
They're not too large.
Of course, the extended recorder will make you use enough memory if you.
Yes.
You plan to record a lot.
I can imagine.
But the applications by themselves are not very large.
People buying Torx version 2. New customers, they will get this bundle with Torx. This is for new customers.
Yes, and it's called the Torx Premium Edition. The plan is that when you buy Torx from an accessibility dealer, then you get this Premium Edition. If you buy Torx from a network provider, you won't get them.
Ah, okay.
So there is a differentiation. You get, of course, a different support from the accessibility dealer that you may consider being worthwhile, maybe worth by its own, I don't know, the higher price, but you also get these five applications. These five applications are basically available on the market. I think they represent a value of about €70.
Right.
But we distribute specially adapted versions of these applications.
Right.
To work perfectly with Torx. This is, of course, especially interesting for the audio application.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But also for the other applications, because there are some parts of these applications from Tyler that are not very accessible at the moment.
The player there, do you know, it may not do you know if that supports streaming at all, streaming MP3?
No, it does not support streaming. Playing MP3 files that you have on your phone.
Okay. The existing Torx user then, who's getting their free version 2 upgrade, if they wanted to get this software bundle, is there any opportunity for them
to do
that?
There will be an upgrade opportunity for that.
Right, okay, but that's not going to be available straight away.
I mean, this is still indecision.
It's probably fair to say that quite a lot of users were a little bit concerned when news came through about the arrangements with ScanSoft, because this really was a departure from the idea that you would have your screen reader developed by one company and your synthesizer developed by another company. That's quite a subtle change, I think, that people are just still getting used to.
Yes. Well, we do not really force people to stick with the synthesizer. It's only that we, of course, as being the owner of Eloquent, we of course give it away with Torx.
Right.
So if we should ever be asked, for example, to give away Babel instead of Torx, there is a possibility to do that.
Torsten Brand, the Speech Pack Torx product manager from ScanSoft. And of course, for more information about Torx, you can visit ScanSoft on the web at allthews.scansoft.com. That's www.scansoft.com.